98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
I am really glad the NBA draft is going down in 4 hours, because if you give me any more time, I might change my mind on DeAndre Ayton. For now, I'm really cool with an Arizona Wildcat teaming with a Kentucky Wildcat to become Shaq and Kobe 2.0. Ayton probably should have dominated more in college, but then again, you could probably say that about a lot of guys, including Michael Jordan. And the Suns could have once been turned off by the fact that Devin Booker didn't even start at Kentucky. Luckily, they knew better, or they guessed right. I also like the fact that Ayton will become a national hero in the Bahamas this evening. He's expected to become the first number one pick from the Caribbean nation since Michael Thompson in 1978. When the latter happened, they actually started hanging basketball hoops from coconut trees. This event will be even bigger, and Ayton thinks it will help the Bahamas transition from a track and field nation into a country that starts producing an assembly line of future NBA pros. And personally, I think this sense of history and nationalism will provide another level of commitment to Ayton's professional career, decreasing any chance at him busting out. But my mind has been tumbling. I'm moonwalking a bit from Luka Doncic, who one draft analytics service lists as a 12% chance to bust. And I'm starting to move my affinity to Marvin Bagley III, who is really starting to look like the generational talent in this draft. So let's get this thing going already before I change my mind, even if I know the Suns will never do the same. All right, off we go. Back half of today's program, a historic week for Phoenix basketball fans. Pretty good week for our radio station. I'm live in New York. They have dispatched me to cover the draft, which is a very cool, big-time thing to do. We've had roundtables that I think have been just awesome radio content over the past few weeks. And it all culminates today, Vinny.
Yes, it does. Finally, it's here. It's not like the overkill of the NFL draft because of the NBA calendar with the lottery being so close to the draft. But what date was the lottery? It does seem like it was about 2 years ago.
It does. It really, really does.
The offseason seems a lot longer when you don't make the playoffs.
Well, that's true, too, that's because
three
the playoffs,
less months.
Yeah, the playoffs roll on for 2 months without you. So, it's been an uphill climb to get here, but here we are. To your point in the blast about DeAndre Ayton, and I don't want to make this solely about DeAndre Ayton, because I think this is a general rule, at least the way I see it from most draft prospects. You can't judge a player's potential or project what they're going to do at the next league, at the next level, based on statistics.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And I know Jarrett made the outlandish claim earlier this week that DeAndre Ayton maybe dominated five games, which is not the case. I'll ask you this question, and I don't expect you to know the answer to it. But the question is, how many 20-point, 10-rebound games did former number one overall pick Karl-Anthony Towns have in his year at Kentucky?
In his single year at Kentucky, I'm going to guess three.
He had one.
He had one.
He had two games in which he scored 20 points. He averaged 10.3 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the people that get sucked in by statistics, maybe there was some of them, and that was a loaded Kentucky team, there's no doubt about it. But they looked at those numbers and go, how's a guy who averages 10 points a game in college go as the number one pick? Well, he's been a statistics machine in the NBA.
Yep.
And again, it goes to the bigger point. College basketball inherently puts handcuffs on a lot of its players because the style of play is so much different from what we see in the NBA.
That is true.
So if you want to talk about elevation, yeah, the guy that averaged 10.3 points a game is now a 22-point scorer in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to use that same line of thinking, a guy that averaged 20 in the game, even though he was being handcuffed by college basketball, the ceiling is so high for what he can become in the NBA.
Can I just defend myself quickly?
No.
Because I watched every game, and his statistics were great.
But you watched every game differently than a scout would.
That's probably true.
Or an analyst would. Because half of the games you watch is through your fingers.
That's true. But there were so many games where the game ended and I saw that he had 24 points and 12 rebounds. And I was like, I don't remember him doing anything impactful in this game. Like, he had a lot of stats where I'm put back. He was very good, but he didn't take over games like I thought he should. I don't know.
Okay.
I am a pessimist. You're right, though.
You are.
And I'm a worry.
And you're an emotional fan.
You're an emotional wreck, but aside from that, it's all good. I agree with what you're all saying, and there's something to be said, I think, for what Jared is saying, and that is, I know Jared's a pessimist when it comes to this stuff, but I really don't want to mitigate what he has to say about this because he's watched more of DeAndre Ayton than just about anybody. And I know he's watched more than I have, and once again, I think one of the fallacies of this draft is there are so many national experts who assume that the reason why there's this great groundswell of support for him in the Valley is because he went to the University of Arizona, and I don't think that's true. I don't think that dynamic actually plays in the Valley. I think there's some of that. Okay, maybe some of it.
Not as widespread as some people would claim.
Okay, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that he absolutely destroyed Arizona State at a time when ASU was very newsworthy and appealing in the Valley, and a lot of casual fans watched those games. And if you were a casual fan and you watched ASU play Arizona, particularly that first game, you said to yourself, man, that DeAndre Ayton, that guy is a difference maker. Well, he wasn't like that the entire season. It doesn't mean he isn't going to be like that, but it just says that he wasn't like that the whole time. I look at DeAndre Ayton. I was reading this story about him, and I know I relayed some of this, and forgive me if you've all read this too. But the whole idea of Roy Williams taking North Carolina down to the Bahamas to play like a bunch of exhibitions, and he does it just for team building. You know, it's a good recruiting trip to tell kids, hey, you know, we're going to go to the Bahamas and whatever. So they arrange.
North Carolina, he also tells them, and you don't have to go to class.
And you don't have to go to class.
And you'll
exactly.
get straight A's.
And you'll get straight A's. And so in the case of DeAndre Ayton, he wasn't even on this original roster of this kind of basically pickup team that Roy Williams' team was going to play. He was a late ad. He rolled into the gym with 5 minutes to go, and he just started dunking on fools and making shots all over the court. And Roy Williams was gushing about him.
I'm a hell of a lot smarter about basketball than you guys are.
And yet, Roy Williams, North Carolina, never recruited him. And he was asked about that, and Roy said, oh, I don't remember. We must have had our reasons. That, if you want to be suspicious about college basketball and all that happens above and under the table, you can probably come up with your own scenarios as to why. But he ended up in Tucson because his mother was very unhappy with how he was being used and abused by the AAU youth basketball system in San Diego.
He ended up in Phoenix from there.
Ended up in Phoenix and then ended up finally going to college in Tucson. So you throw all that together, and it's a really interesting, compelling story. But I also wonder, what if Marvin Bagley III would have done like Joe Caldwell did and stayed at ASU? We don't know. We don't know how that would have played out. We don't know whether he would have been a guy that we would have all been raving for right now.
And a lot of people are still.
Right.
I'm going to give you the reason at the start of what you said there, why the Valley is steadfastly behind this pick of DeAndre Ayton. And it's been brought up some, but I don't think it's been hit on enough. I think the reason why Suns fans feel so strongly about the selection of DeAndre Ayton, first and foremost, is that he represents something that in 50 years of basketball in this city, this franchise has never had.
Good point.
And that is a 7'1", 260-pound stud center, even though, as Doug Gottlieb brought up, that position is being diminished and marginalized in terms of importance in the league. He represents something that they've never had before.
Yep.
Yes, they did have Shaquille O'Neal, and he was an all-star as a center. But that's the closest thing the Suns have had to being that dom. And there's a lot of romanticism in it because people look back at the dominant centers of the 80s and early 90s and Shaq and Hakeem Olajuwon and Patrick Ewing and David Robinson and those guys. They've never had that before, and I think that's why a lot of people want it.
That's a good point. That's you know what, that's a really, really good point. And once again, it kind of plays into that bookends, the symmetry that we talked about earlier, the belief that the first 50 years meant this to Suns fans, and it was largely defined by heartache and heartbreak and bad luck, whereas the next 50 years are going to be something completely different, and they're going to be completely different because it's going to start with the big man we lost out in our first season as an expansion team. You see what I'm saying? So it all kind of makes sense when you fit it together like that.
Yeah, I mean, the marginalization of the center position makes you think a little bit. Doug Gottlieb brought that up too. If you look at the teams that were successful in the playoffs, you know, they didn't play that way.
Yep.
With the back to the basket center or the guy that's going to get fed down in the low post. It was more, you know, it's an evolution of that position. And I did a segment with Doug and Wolf and Paul Calvisi this morning too, and Wolf brought up a great point. There was a stretch of time where the running back in football was marginalized. But it's an evolution of that position because now they're very much in vogue again. You see Saquon Barkley going number two in the draft, which 5 years ago you would have thought, we're never going to see a running back that high. It's a passing league. Well, get the running backs that can also catch the ball. That's what's happening with the center position right now. It's an evolution. It's not a guy who's down on the blocks getting, you know, the entry pass on every possession and working inside out like that. It's these guys becoming more, I don't know if I like the term positionless in this example, but that's kind of what it is, because they can step out and hit perimeter jump shots, and they can facilitate from a high post and be passers as well. I think DeAndre Ayton has all that ability, and I don't think it came clear necessarily, and this is not a knock on Sean Miller either. I think it's more of a knock on the institution that is college basketball right now. It didn't become clear at that level of basketball because that's not the way they play.
That's a good point. It's a good point, and I think you can, yeah, and I think that way you look at this and you can kind of say, there's a reason why this is the smart pick, not only the smart pick, but the only pick for the Suns. And it's reflected in Vegas odds. It's reflected in local mood and all that kind of stuff. And I think you were right on the money. This idea that Marvin Bagley III is going to hold it against the Suns because he wants to be that guy, that is not the case whatsoever. He wants to be the number one pick overall in the draft. In speaking with him, I can tell you right now, there was no great affinity for or feeling of a missed opportunity that he was, you know, that this guy couldn't play in Phoenix, that he might have to go to Sacramento. In fact, he's one of these rare cats who's actually cool about going to Sacramento, Vinny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just the more and more I look into it, I'm just reminded of when Marvin Bagley III kind of rolled onto the local scene, and it was sort of like we're all like, wow, this might be the best athlete Arizona has ever produced. He was kind of looked at in those terms back then, and now, you know, he's been usurped and passed by DeAndre Ayton, and we'll see. We'll see what it means in the long run.
Yep. Join Burns and Gambo live from the Arizona Coyotes draft party at Wild Horse Pass Hotel and Casino tomorrow starting at 3:30 p.m. Clayton Keller will be on hand to unveil the team's new official third jersey, and you can check out the NHL draft as it unfolds. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. All right, lots of other stuff going on outside of Phoenix. In the NBA as well on this draft day, the Memphis Grizzlies are the owners of the number 4 pick overall. The scuttlebutt coming out of Memphis is that they are very much listening to offers for that 4th pick, attaching that pick to the Chandler Parsons contract, which is different from the Allen Parsons project. There's two different things altogether.
Yes,
but
it is.
You can't. And I'm reading this piece from Jonathan Givony on ESPN. You can't talk about the Chandler Parsons contract without seeing the word albatross.
I know.
Attached to it.
Yeah.
He's had chronic knee problems. He's been a social media darling. I mean, you can't go a couple weeks during the NBA season without seeing who Chandler Parsons is dating, what celebrity he's dating. But
yep.
It hasn't been a good deal for them. Potential trade partners with the Grizzlies for that pick, according to Givony: Dallas, Orlando, Chicago, the Knicks, Denver, Boston, and the Clippers. But that list could grow as we get into the draft tonight. Should the Suns make a phone call and just kind of feel out the situation, in your opinion?
It can't hurt. I think what's happening, Vinny, is that, you know, there's a point in every draft, and we talk about this a lot with the NFL draft, where there's going to be order and there's going to be a sequence of picks that everybody kind of agrees on is the order of things, and then something's going to be happen. There's going to be a team that either does something crazy or nobody knows what they're going to do, and that is when the draft is going to begin. And I think that is the way the Memphis Grizzlies are going into this draft. The more we have talked, I think that this conversation has gone from the buttons that we used to have at the radio station, Ayton and Doncic, to DeAndre Ayton 1, Marvin Bagley III to Sacramento, Luka Doncic to Atlanta.
It could go down that way.
That's the way I think it's going to go down, because I don't think, first of all, I don't think Luka Doncic wants to be in Sacramento. I think Vlade Divac knows it, and I think Marvin Bagley is going to be a better player after all of this.
Well, and then if you look at number four, then what that leaves for Memphis, it could mean Mo Bamba, a guy who has refused to work out for them, has refused to cooperate with Memphis in any single way in this draft process.
So. And Jaren Jackson, who's done the same. Neither one of them wants to go to Memphis. And I don't know what they've got against Memphis.
Good barbecue, right?
Great barbecue. Underrated nightlife. It's a good city.
I've never been to Graceland. I heard it's beautiful.
I've never been to Graceland either. Right?
I've never been to Memphis, actually.
Yeah, right. So I think they're looking at this and they're like, okay, you know what? If these two guys don't want to be here, we can't reach for other players because then we're not getting value. So we need to trade this pick.
And it might be moving. It might be worth moving out of that slot.
Yep.
Just to get rid of the Parsons contract.
And now you could use that as the bait to get some other team to go and take it. So that to me is where it's all going to begin. So Ayton, Bagley III, Doncic, and then with the fourth pick in the NBA draft, the Grizzlies have traded their pick too, and I think that's what's going to happen.
The New York Knicks.
Oh, could you imagine that? Although,
the latest coming out of Sacramento is that the Kings are torn at number two between Bagley and Doncic.
All right.
So I'll use the cliche. I'll say the draft starts at two.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, then there you go. But I do think Bagley's going to go second. And if I'm wrong, then you're going to be right. How about that?
Yeah. In this offseason, we've also talked about the possibility the Suns may be pursuing a trade for Karl Anthony Towns of Minnesota. This on the heels of Brian Windhorst of ESPN, who's become, over the last decade, one of the most trusted media voices on the NBA in this country.
Yep.
He said on a podcast, he reiterated it on our show, that there's some discourse between Karl Anthony Towns and the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he might not be in Minnesota, speaking of Karl Towns. Tom Thibodeau, the head coach, spoke to John Krasinski of The Athletic in a piece that appeared on that website, and Krasinski wrote, "Thibodeau and Towns have spoken on the phone this offseason, league sources told The Athletic, and there is expected to be more substantive dialogue in the coming weeks when Towns returns from his travel. According to several people familiar with the situation, there has not been an impasse between the two. Towns has not asked for a trade, and the Wolves are not considering trading him. As contract extension talks kick off for Towns this summer, the communication only figures to increase."
Okay. So what does that tell you? I don't think any of this was overblown at the beginning, or you would have heard from Karl Anthony Towns coming out and saying, okay, guys, don't believe what you're reading. It's not true. Mm-hmm. Everything is cool here. You got none of that. And then you got the Devin Booker stuff that was happening. So I do believe something was afoot. But, you know, it's something where I think you'd have to be really dumb as an owner to let something like that force your general manager to trade a talent as amazing as Karl Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in that situation? You practice the art of conflict resolution, and you find a way to get everybody working towards the same end, and I think that's what's happened here.
Okay.
I don't think any of it was hyperbole, to quote Gamble.
All right, good segue into the next discussion point here about crisis control. Is that the phrase you just used?
No, conflict resolution.
Conflict resolution. It's at a different level in San Antonio, obviously, but Kawhi Leonard, that situation is still out there too. Greg Popovich flies to San Diego to meet with Kawhi Leonard. Stephen A. Smith reported on television that his sources told him Kawhi Leonard looked Popovich right in the eye during the meeting and said, I don't want to be in San Antonio anymore, period, end of story.
Yeah.
But the reports coming out today from Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski is that, Zach Lowe from ESPN, is that the Spurs are not giving up hope of conflict resolution, and they've not given up hope of patching things up with Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, and I'm very much on the outside, it seems like that ship has sailed to me.
I ran into some people that I know well that I hadn't seen in a while yesterday, and they're all dialed in, and they told me that exactly what you just said. With Kawhi Leonard, the ship has sailed, and whether or not it's part of a LeBron master plan that's been uncorked for some time, or whether it really is just about Kawhi Leonard becoming angry and disenchanted at the Spurs medical staff, and then becoming angry at the Spurs nucleus of players, not only for Tony Parker's comments, but for the intervention that they tried without Kawhi knowing about it. Mm-hmm. I was told by somebody a couple months ago that ticked him off to no end. I was told he doesn't have huge issues with Greg Popovich, other than he blames Popovich for that intervention that he just really that made his skin crawl, if you will. Throw it all together, and like I said yesterday, I'm not sure any of this should be a deal breaker for anybody or any organization, but there is something to consider. If the Spurs can lose control of their franchise player, what NBA organization is safe? What NBA organization None. Can claim any kind of stability? None. Superstar players in the NBA have more power than ever. It's all part of LeBron James's personal mission of personal empowerment. This is why LeBron James, as great as he is, has ended up damaging the sport of basketball. Because everything he has done now has torn at the fabric of team building, fan loyalty, all that kind of stuff. And if this can happen to the San Antonio Spurs, no team is safe anywhere.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Another team that's in the news, the Los Angeles Lakers. Sources have said the Lakers have had to warn their staff about tampering ahead of free agency. Lakers co-owner and Governor Jeannie Buss called the meeting, which was led by President of Basketball Operations Magic Johnson, who's been slapped twice by the league for tampering.
I was going to say, if she's been slapped twice, that's domestic violence, Vinny.
Well, you didn't let me finish.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One team source put a quote, "We're under incredible scrutiny with everything, so Jeannie and Magic had to make this crystal clear to everyone." Guess what? Doesn't matter. LeBron James is still ending up in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of the Lakers, just a quick update on the celebrity NBA fans. Tony Jefferson posted on Twitter that the Suns need to pretty much rebuild from the ground up, and here's the lineup he wants. Trae Young, Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, DeAndre Ayton. He wants them to trade up for Trae Young.
So he only wants to start four players? I mean, that puts them at a disadvantage.
The start of it.
That's funny.
Derek Carr, quarterback for the Raiders, then responded, "This should be a nice young lineup," and gave this.
Yes.
And
which is the A-OK.
The A-OK sign. And so I responded on the Bickley and Rod. I said, "Are you a Suns fan, Derek Carr, by any chance? Should hop aboard if you're not, because the Warriors are boring. You don't need to be them." And he wrote back, "Lake show all the way."
Huh.
So now we could boo the Raiders.
Huh. I didn't expect Derek Carr, a Fresno guy, to be a Suns fan.
You never know.
But Tony Jefferson, a San Diego guy, is a big Suns fan. And he went on with Doug and Wolf today, didn't he?
Yeah, briefly. He just said that. He said that he wants the Suns to trade the pick.
Really?
And get a star.
Wow. Look at that. The unpopular viewpoint from Tony Jefferson. I like it. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but it would have to be the right star.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, we'll continue to talk draft. Jared Dudley, Suns forward. He's always honest and forthright. He'll give us his opinions on what the Suns should do during the draft and the rest of what could transpire tonight. That's next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Who will be the chosen son? We're talking number one pick on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. I'm on top of the world.
Hey. About 4 hours until the draft gets underway, 2018 style. Suns with the number one overall pick here to talk draft with us and the Suns offseason is their forward, Jared Dudley, who joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Hello, Jared, how are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. Can you let's before we talk about what's going to transpire tonight, let's go back 11 years to draft night 2007. What are your memories of being a first round pick that night, Jared?
I had a party here in San Diego, and I was just hoping to get first round. I think I had 18, 19 workouts, all ranging from about 18 to 35 was my range at that time. And I just remember them calling my name. It was just a dream come true, just because every player, you always wanted, if you couldn't be in the green room and shake out, I think back then with David Stern, Adam Silver, you just wanted to call your name. That's what I wanted. And it was definitely one of the best moments of my life.
And now since you weren't there in the green room, you don't have to look back in horror about what you wore on draft night either. Because there's not a lot of pictures in circulation of what you wore that night, right?
You know what? I just saw it not too long ago. I wore some jeans with a sweater vest with a tie. It was a fashion trend back then with my braids.
Yes, exactly.
All right, Jared, we've been looking at this thing, and it seems like DeAndre Ayton's been the foregone conclusion, but Vinny and I have been starting to look at Marvin Bagley III and wondering if he's the bigger generational talent. Are you still in the Ayton camp? What do you think at the very top of this draft? How would you delineate between those guys right up there at the top?
I think those two guys are kind of like can't-miss guys in the sense of, if you had told me Carl Anthony Towns, it's easy to say Porzingis now because no one knew about Porzingis. I think that those two guys are going to be 18 to 19 point scorers to 10, 11 rebounds throughout their career. I think they're just totally different. I think that Bagley is the new generational. He's going to be a five eventually once he gains a little bit of weight where he can guard multiple positions. He has a good feel in the sense that he can post up if you're too small. He can shoot the jump shot. He's not a great shooter, but you could tell that his form, that he's going to be able to shoot the ball well and his motor. I think what separates Bagley and Ayton is motor. I think that offensively, I think Ayton has a little bit more with him. I think defensively, that's the key. And it's tough analyzing these guys defensively because at a young age, they're not thinking defense. They're thinking scoring and what they can do and maybe block shots, but not really locking down and taking that serious. That's something that they'll both have to do.
Jared Dudley of the Phoenix Suns, our guest here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. The people that have a rooting interest in the Suns that aren't necessarily on board with DeAndre Ayton as the pick at number one, Jared, a lot of it has to do with the marginalization, they'll call it, or the lessening importance of a dominant center in the NBA. What would you say to those people?
And I would say very understandable, mm-hmm. very understandable. But I would say this is through basketball, a certain type of player is going to change the way it's played. The reason why this game has changed this way is Steph Curry. I mean, not saying he's the best. His three-point shooting to go along with Klay Thompson and then being a duo has changed the NBA because shooting 10, 11 threes a game per player now is not out of the ordinary before it was. So DeAndre can be able to guard point guards off pick and rolls and do it effectively and still dominate undersized five like Draymond Green. He'll change the NBA, and that's a big if. I mean, cause it's tough to be able to do that in this with these athletic, quick point guards and these fives that can guard bigs. And mm-hmm. so we haven't had a center, except for Joel Embiid a little bit, that can punish these undersized five. Cousins does that at times. He definitely does. But now defensively, are they giving up more points because of threes? And that's really the key where the Bagley and Anthony Davis types I feel that he's kind of similar to is going to be key.
All right, let me ask you one thing about Luka Doncic. I want to get your take on this, Jared. In the European League, he's playing against men who are smart and developed, and so the things that Luka does really well can't be diminished because he sees the game and he's very intelligent because he's playing against real intelligent people. But he's not facing the athleticism of the college game, and I'm curious, do you think his ball handling ability and his ability to facilitate and even by extension his confidence will get sapped when he gets to the NBA just because he's going to get smothered by athletes in a way that he's never been before, or do you think that's overblown?
I don't think it's overblown. I think it's everyone in the draft, you always overanalyze everyone. I think yep. when it comes to his ball handling, I'm fine with it. His shooting off the dribble, his IQ. Now, I would say this. besides maybe the Warriors, the NBA is more of a one-on-one pick and roll, see the match, mismatch and go at it.
Yep.
And in Europe, it's more passing. You'll see 10, 11 passes, pick and roll side to side. And we just don't do it as much for one, 24-second shot clock. And so you have less that. And then there's our elite players are so elite, we try to get them to find the mismatch. And so for him, it's defensively, like everyone, can you build a guard? And for the most part, people say, hey, but Steph Curry can't play defense. Well, Steph Curry plays on a good defensive team. So if you're not in the right personnel, you know, if you don't have the right personnel, you can be exposed. With that being said, is I do think that if he gets to the right system, he can be a star. And what I mean by star, he could be someone like if he went to Dallas that's all about side to side, playing the right way, find the mismatch like Carlisle. I think that will benefit him dramatically.
Jared Dudley of the Suns, our guest here on Bickley and Murata, as it is NBA draft day. Suns have the number one pick. They also have the number 16 pick in the first round. It's an interesting spot to be in for such a young team, Jared. As you know, I think part of the goal this offseason for Ryan McDonough is to add a little experience and a little age and leadership to that roster. That being said, is there a player you especially like for your team at 16? Are you on board with maybe exploring a trade to get some veteran talent there? I mean, what are your thoughts on that pick?
I think that, to be honest, yeah, that's a good question. I do like the guard from Villanova. I think I can't pronounce his name right.
DiVincenzo?
Him. I like him just because of his shooting, his high IQ, his athleticism. I think he was number one in vertical when it came to the combine, so he has that. But I think that if there's ever a year you want to trade up, I think this is the year where if you're looking to get a point guard, something that I think that we are in need. I think that we have the assets, have something to be able to go get between Sexton, between Trey Young. Those guys might go early. But with that, I think that, you know, we're already a young team. You'll add two good kids that are young. I think the key will be the free agency of the veterans because we can have the top five picks. In this NBA, you can't win young. And when I mean win, now you can develop these guys where I think you saw with OKC when you had Harden, Westbrook, when you have elite talent, which I think Jackson, Booker, and Aiden, it takes a while, and we can wait a while, but that's even them, if you looked at it, they signed Fisher, they signed Caron Butler, they signed the right guys to go along with that team to help guide them.
All right, Jared, I want to move off the draft and ask you, because I saw your reaction after Kawhi Leonard allegedly asked for a trade or said he wanted out of San Antonio and wanted to go to Los Angeles, and we've heard all about LeBron, and you were like, here it goes. And it's kind of exactly the way I feel. Do you expect that super team to form in Los Angeles, and what are your thoughts on whether it's good or bad for basketball?
I definitely expect it. I definitely expect it just because for one, if you were LeBron and you were going to leave, wouldn't you want to play with a guy like Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, yeah.
If you have to take down if you take down the Warriors, you need someone he's probably tired of guarding Durant and then doing all that. And now you have someone not only can guard Durant. You know, people say Durant's unstoppable. He's not unstoppable with Kawhi Leonard. I'll tell you that. That's one person that we've seen that has slowed him down. Now, Durant's had also some good games, but there's a lot of games that you would say Kawhi got the better of him, and that's what he needs. So he wants to play in L.A., and they have the assets to get them because Kuzma and Ingram are good young pieces. That's for one. And then when it comes to LeBron, him having a house there, and if he gets the right pieces, why would you not want to end it there?
It's a good question, and I expect it, like you, Jared, to happen as well. But that will immediately begin the debates of if it's LeBron, Kawhi, and I know people want to include Paul George into that. Let's say that all transpires. And there's a lot of people that would be willing to say, oh, the Lakers are going to win multiple titles with that team right away. I still don't think they beat Golden State next year. Do you agree?
You know what? If they got off of Paul George, I would pick them to win it.
Just so would
because I would pick them to win it because I think that Golden State would have a better record overall. But I think that in the playoffs, I think we're taking the factor out of LeBron where, hey, you have two other guys that can defend multiple positions that are elite at that. And I just feel like, hey, you two could suit up next to them too. You guys are going to get wide open shots. I mean, like if those three there, like who's a Steph Curry guard? I mean, like who do those guys have to guard? And I think that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are unselfish enough where, hey, they're egoless, where, hey, I'm just going to do my job. Kawhi loves guarding the best guys, and that's what's tough about being Golden State. You got to be egoless because so are they. They don't care who gets to shine. They play the right way every time, and yet they're elite at what they do. So I think it'd be a battle. I think the ratings would be crazy. And then what you're hoping for is Phoenix to see this, to gravitate towards this and know that, hey, Booker is close. And I don't think people realize how close he is of tapping into even that next level. And if Aiden is what he is, I mean, Phoenix is going to be right there in a couple of years if they compete with these guys.
Yeah, let's hope. We'll cross our fingers, Jared. I always appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks, man. Enjoy the rest of the offseason, okay?
Thank you, guys, man. Enjoy the draft.
All right, Jared Dudley of the Phoenix Suns, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. That's CoulterTempe.com, Coulter on Camelback.com, and CoulterNissan.com. Kevin Hart is bringing his irresponsible tour to Talking Stick Resort Arena on Sunday, July 1st. We're giving you the chance to win tickets. Just head to the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com for complete details and to enter to win. More NBA draft coverage as we count down to the number one overall pick for the Phoenix Suns here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Insider Update.
At center, 7-1 from Arizona, DeAndre Ayton.
Well, yes. And you know, I'm, as again, as Doug said, I'll be in New York, and that's the name that I'll be thinking about when called. But the draft has been full of surprises, guys, in the past. I mean, you know, and the Suns do a great job of obviously keeping it close to the vest in regards to everything. And I'm saying that, right? And I'm the color analyst, but that's so true. And, yeah, I mean, I would like to think that's who it is. And he's a tremendous basketball player, I tell you that.
Eddie Johnson, Suns color analyst, on This Morning with Doug and Wolf on the prospect of DeAndre Ayton being a member of this team in about less than 4 hours now as we are closing in on the beginning of the 2018 NBA draft. Spickley and Murata, Dan is stationed in New York from the studios of 98.7 FM there, ESPN Radio.
Yes,
and
I
here
am.
I'm at the studios of 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, the Ak-Chin Community Studios.
Sweet!
If nothing else, I think Eddie hit on an important point there. And I know teams are really guarded with information. We haven't always seen that to be the case in any sport with teams that own the number one overall draft pick. The Suns have been very close to the vest on all of this. And I think Ryan McDonough deserves credit for that because information is a currency nowadays in sports media. And we all think what's going to happen. I think we're all pretty sure what's going to happen, but there's been no definitive proclamation. This is what we're going to do. And I think that's a good thing by the Suns.
Well, and that would be, I don't see what the purpose of that would be. But I do think that just the way everything lines up, wouldn't you be shocked if they selected anybody other than DeAndre Ayton?
At this point, yes, I would. Not disappointed, but I would be shocked.
I remember when they decided to hire Igor Kokoschkov, and they
say it right.
Kokoschkov. I know Igor Coach K. Well, that's already been used.
You know, it makes me think of all the other Suns coaches throughout the years, like
Igor Kokoschkov,
like Cotton Fitzsimmons, Mike D'Antoni, Paul Westphal,
Jerry Colangelo,
Johnny Redcar. Remember Lindsey Hunter,
Earl Watson. Yeah, Jared. When we
Danny
went
Ainge,
yeah.
Jeff Hornacek.
I call him all the time. I do. Remember we did this yesterday? Why did you not get the Dueling Gambos banjos going, Jarrett?
I know I should have.
He was eating.
No, I was not eating.
Of course.
Maybe I was.
Of course. Of course.
No. Oh, I should do this, but I'm not.
Jeez.
What? It was we had him playing along.
It's true.
But he doesn't like to do the game part of it, does he?
No.
When it's
no,
a competition, which just is totally anti-Gambo, I would think he would love the competition part of it.
Oh, he's competitive?
The one time we've played Dueling Gambos as an actual game, he won.
He did win.
Like, Carol! Here's more from Eddie Johnson.
There's nobody better than the Clay Carroll.
Here's more from Eddie Johnson with Doug and Wolf this morning on DeAndre Ayton.
You know, you don't get to see too many guys that size that come into the league and they're physically ready to play already.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I had a chance to meet him the other day, and he's a comical guy. I mean, he's a fun-loving big man. And I like that about big guys because a lot of them are introverts because of their size, right? I mean, because people are always asking questions when they go out in public and they kind of shut down. He tends to embrace it.
Yeah, that's something we haven't discussed a lot in all of this, Bick. So I'm glad Eddie Johnson brought it up about the personality and the point that DeAndre Ayton's got at least, if not more than one good personality.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a real boon for this organization, too. I mean, the comparison there is Joel Embiid, who is a sensation and a phenomenon on social media because of the personality.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of comparisons between the two.
Well, I can't
wait. At least from that standpoint.
Personally, I really cannot wait for DeAndre Ayton to come in and start publicly flirting with Rihanna, who I also believe is from the islands. Is that true?
Yes. Not the Bahamas, though, I don't think.
No.
But
no.
From the island.
Right. You and I have had
this. Rhode Island.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Mm.
You and I, we've had this conversation.
She's from Barbados.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Close enough. Both places have great rum. You and I have had this conversation many, many times about the importance of personalities on basketball teams.
Or any sports teams. Really.
Or any sports teams. And I know that you don't value it nearly as much as I do. But I just think that Phoenix, for whatever reason, we have been at a point in time where we don't have a lot of personalities. And the ones that we do have, we cherish more than we probably should because there's just not a lot of flavor out there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Jared Dudley's one of them. Archie Bradley's another. You could list off some. Patrick Peterson is one. But I think in the case of DeAndre Ayton, this would help. I mean, getting a guy that does have that kind of personality would help. By contrast, look at Luka Doncic and how reserved he is away from the court. Apparently, you've got to know Luka for 5 years for him to even say a word to you. That kind of personality is not going to help just generally the flavor and the fun of Arizona sports. I think DeAndre Ayton brings a lot of that to the table. And I do think I think it's important. I think I've proven it's probably more important to me than it is you.
I mean, I think it's important, too, but I think you put more of a priority on it than I do.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Real quick off basketball, you didn't participate in any World Cup betting pools, did you?
I did not, no.
Because I was going to say, if you got Argentina, you might be in a little bit of trouble.
Why? What's happening?
They just lost 3-0 to Croatia.
You sure that's not 3-0?
No, it's 3-0.
Sorry about that. No, I'm with you. 3-0.
3-0. And
three
now,
zip.
Now Fox is just showing the parade of Argentinian fans in attendance in Russia with their heads in their hands because they got dominated.
And Dragon Bender is ecstatic on Twitter right now. Big Croatian fan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Luis Scola somewhere is inconsolable.
Oh, man. One of my favorites.
Manu.
Really?
I love Luis Scola.
Oh,
remember those Spurs teams? Luis Scola, Manu Ginobili, Brent Barry.
Tony Parker,
who started sexting Brent Barry's wife.
Malik Rose. Steven Jackson. Duncan.
Who is that guy with the red hair? Who is that guy?
Matt Bonner.
Love that guy.
All right, we've reached goofiness level.
Yes, it's okay.
It took longer today
we've
than
been
it normally
very
does.
Serious all day. This is a historic, serious day. It's good to get a little goofy.
It is historic, and it could go one of two ways, as history tells us. Will this be one of those moments where we look back in 50 years? Well, not us, but younger people that will still be alive. Will they look back and they say, that was a turning point in Suns history, or that was the moment where it went further south? Well, we'll review the first 50 years next of Phoenix Suns history. The good, the bad, and everything in between. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.